Turning to Arish HaTorah, in Perek Tes, Seif Dalad, page Mem Ches. We was able to spend the last few Erev Shabbos with Rav Kook B'Chadorov in his room, in the room of that struggle on his Madrega, which he felt honored to be part of, being pulled in different directions, having a neshama that's karua, that's torn. And all that we're learning now in this parak, and really is throughout the sefer, is how the tzaddik makes his way in these worlds, rots of Ashayif, back and forth. And as he said, that the tachlis of life, as we learned last week, the tachlis is to try to sew, to fix, to bring these pieces together. So in Sif Dalet, again, I always mark them that we're just trying to understand as best as we can, and it's always in a way that's b'derech efsher, and I have all kinds of sveikis if it's being translated properly or being given over accurately. And anybody that understands things better shouldn't be embarrassed to offer an explanation, because it's very, very hard. It's a very hard sif. Kfimasha ha'halachas hein mevararos. Do you know that Rav Kook wanted very, very much for our learning to be clear. But the clarity that he spoke of all the time was not only in understanding the svaras, the concepts, the ideas, but to always bring the learning to a place of halacha. Halacha. The Gemaras that he began to put out, the editions of the Gemara that he began to put out before he was Nifter, which is really the last project he was working on, it's called Halacha Brura. And subsequently, the Machon has connected to that, has been putting out over the years Masechtas. Halacha Brura, where one is able to come out from the Sugya with the halacha, and being able to know the halacha and how it came from, all the way traveled from Chumash and through Chazal, all the way to the different shittas of the Rishayim and the Achrayim, to come down to halacha. And here Rav Kook says, "Kefi masha halachas hein mevararos," to the extent that our learning, our understanding of halacha is clear. "Kefi masha halachas hein mevararos," to the extent that they're clear. This has a lot to do with what we were learning this morning also in Rosh Hashanah Shabbos. Kach hein mesamchais lev oisehen umazhirehen. When the halach is clear, to the extent that one understands the halach and the halach is clear, one is able to feel tremendous joy not just by learning the halacha, but by observing the halacha and being careful with observing these halachas. When a person does something that he knows that he's supposed to do, but it's very unclear, it's very, very vague, which is a lot of the stuff that we do in life. Baruch Hashem, we try to do the right thing, but you can't compare a person, let's say, who comes to Rosh Hashanah after learning the halachas of Tkiyas Shofar inside out, learning the sugya and the Gemara, and following it through in the Rishonim and the Beis Yosef, the Tur, and to go through the Shulchan Aruch and the Noisei Kelim all the way down to the Mishnah Berurah and the Rav Shulchan Aruch and so on, and to the Tshuvas that we have. When that person comes to Tkiyas Shofar, it's a different Tkiyas Shofar. It sounds the same. We have another person that his whole preparation was taking a shower for Erev Rosh Hashanah. And he comes to Tkiyas Shofar, so every Jew feels, when the Shofar, every Jew feels. But you can't compare a person who who learn the inyan of Tkiya Shofar and who understands clearly the halachas of Tkiya Shofar to somebody who doesn't. It's that simple. K'fimasha halachas hem mevaros kach hem esamchei slav oiseinu mazirein. When the halachas are clear, then when the person keeps that mitzvah, when he observes the halacha, the heart is filled with joy. He doesn't feel that this is something that was imposed upon me, that I don't get, I don't understand. And it has into all of these mechanisms of do this and don't do that, and how come it's done this way, why it's not done that way, and it's all just a mystery. So the nature of a person is that the soul is desperately longing for clarity. That goes back to what we were talking about this morning. Because each one of us, Be'emes, wants to be in that place of Amach Kulam Tzadikim, of Hashem Echad. And Hashem Echad is not two, not three, not four. It's in that place where everything is clear. Simcha comes when things are clear. When things are unclear, even though you keep the same thing, but it doesn't have the same effect upon you when it's not clear. And clarity comes through halacha. That's why we see that those same tzaddikim who are oisik in Sisrei Torah, in Pnimius of Torah, those same tzaddikim were very, very deeply connected to learning Gemara Aliba de Hilchus. Everybody knows that the Vilna Gaon, his greatness in Nistar, in Nigla, his greatness in Torah is unparalleled in the later generations by the Achrayim, the Vilna Gaon. And whoever has had the schus to look a little bit into Bir Hagra, it's very, very hard because it's Maar Mekaymus in a few words. But all the Vilna Gaon wanted was to make that connection between the din in the Shulchan Aruch and where the din comes from, so that one will be able to make that chibur between the root of the halacha and the psak din, so that everything, all those tzaddikim who were oisik in rozim, in secrets of Torah, everything they did was echad. Everything they did was to make yichudim. For all the tzaddikim that were very deeply connected to rozei Torah, were also very deeply connected to limud ha-halacha, to learning halacha l'maisa. If you see the mashal by the Sfarad HaShidin, they were always very, very connected to halacha because they were never embarrassed of learning this thing. Sfardim, by the Sfardim, Zohar Kaddish and Pnimis HaTorah is part of their upbringing. They never had to make to be embarrassed or to apologize. Or like when we're learning this morning from in Rosh the Shabbos, Rabbi Elia says that it says in the Medrash Chachamim, Chazal say that there's a nusach in Chazal that's in the Siddur on Friday night, the Chol Dinim is Arminah. That Rabbi is afraid to say that it says in the Zohar Kaddish. He didn't say that. Because his Rebbe, Rav Huttner, was very careful of that. Rav Huttner always was called the Zohar Medrash Chachamim, Chazal. He never wanted to say Zohar Kaddish. He never wanted to say that. And Rav Huttner himself was deeply connected to Rosen and was a person that was rooted in Sisrei Torah. He said that he had Gedarim and how it was going to be taken in the world and how it would affect the world of Chulu. But his father, there was never an Indian. They never felt uncomfortable with the Zohar Kaddish, or saying the Zohar Kaddish. And if we see by the Sfardim, the Indian of Limud HaTorah was always with Halacha, was also to come to the Halacha, to come to a place of that's clear, Aliba de Hilchasa. That's the way that they learned. And Ad Hayam, except the yeshivas, as the Sfardish are very humble also, b'teva, and they feel uncomfortable, and they feel, sometimes they feel a little bit inadequate, so they're trying to make themselves into yeshivish people, instead of being Sfardim the way the Sfardim always were, and they have their own mahalach, so they're trying to also now say, you know, the same kind of yeshivish attire, but they never had such an Indian. Their Indian is always learning the sugya aliba de hilchasa straight, halacha, not that there's anything wrong with learning the lambdas, but their mahalach is a mahalach of clarity in halacha. All the balei side, all those who are connected to pnimiyas haTorah, were connected to halacha l'maaseh. But you would think just the opposite. Svar would say, if you're a person that you're into the esoterics of Yiddishkeit, that you would be very far removed from halacha. Halacha is the most practical, right? It's very practical. So you would think that those who are the dreamier types, who are the ones that are in the side, in Rosen, so you would think they'd be less connected to halacha, and they'd be more connected to pilpulim and to all kinds of svaras. But the opposite was true. It was always those who were Balei Soid were Balei Halacha. Always. Always. Because there is this search for unity. There is that need for Yichud Kutshubichu Shchinte. And when one does not learn Halacha, then you don't come out with that kind of Yichud as when you're learning Halacha. The Sugya with the Halacha. And that's what he explains. V'chesron biruron, b'yidia brur udveka benefesh, and when there's something lacking in clarity, when it's not clear, and you don't come out with a grasp of the Rotzen Hashem. What does the Rosh Hashem want from this? What does he want from this daf? What is he asking me? So I'm learning whatever it is in Chulin. What's it say? I'm like, what's the daf Yomi? Okay, so there. So what's the Rotzen Hashem from Chulin Daf Tzadi? What does the Rosh Hashem want to me from Chulin Daf Tzadi? What does it mean? Say that to understand the oimek the sugi and to learn it properly and to learn it carefully. But tachlis, what's the Rotzen Hashem? There's a letter from the Mari Cheskel. It's a Meridic letter. The photostat to see if he wants to, after Yontif. There's a letter from the Mari Cheskel where there was a big Lamdan who wrote to the Mari Cheskel. Mari Cheskel was Reb Cheskel Panet, the tzaddik from Dej. He was a goyin ha-goyinim in learning. Tshuvas Mari Cheskel, very, very difficult, deep tshuvas. So there was a big Talmud Chacham Lamdan who wrote to the Mari Cheskel a letter asking the Mari Cheskel to perhaps send some lomdas, some pilpulim that he heard from Reb Mendel Rimonover, so that this way he could show the lomdim that Reb Mendel Rimonover, the Rebbe Reb Mendel Rimonover, is a lomdim. You have to see how Mari Cheskel wrote back. He says that I didn't know to laugh or to cry when I read your letter. As if he said that the inyan of being an Eved Hashem is to be able to outsmart one person, to outsmart another person. That's the tachlis of being an Eved Hashem. Who could say a pilpul that's charif, that's sharp, and then I have to validate, I have to confirm that Mendel Rimonov is a tzaddik if he says a pilpul that will impress your chabura over there in your town, someplace in Poland, and then Reb Mendel Rimonov is a tzaddik. And the way that he wrote this, it's a chosh of a letter, but this is the tachlis of, and the Mari Cheskel was a big Baal Pilpul. This is the tachlis of Limud HaTorah, this is the tachlis of being an Eved Hashem. To be able to show how smart you are, and that you're a charif, and that you're sharp, and not to know what the Rosh Hashem is, and to be an Eved Hashem, and to learn and to understand the halacha of what the Baruch Shalom wants from us. Not a whole letter on this inyan. The Chesaron Beruvin, when the halacha is not clear, so that you understand it clearly. So when you understand something clearly, you can become dovuk to it. When something is unclear, you can't become attached to it. When something is clear, you can become dovuk to it. And when this is lacking, when the clarity and the halacha brur is missing, then the dveikus benefesh is weak. All of that lack of clarity, the confusion, brings to a feeling that living a Jewish life is a heavy burden. It just weighs upon me. Living with all of the ins and outs, all of the prote halachas, when you don't understand them, when you don't understand what the Gemara is, what the halach is, and you don't understand the prote halacha, how they fit together one with the other, so then you feel that it's this heavy burden that I have to do it. I'm not, God forbid, I'm not going to ignore my responsibilities. But it's a schlep. You feel it's a tremendous schlep. Vaydeze yesh shemisereres cherdes vifyain hagaremis lamaasal shatara, that could really even cause a feeling of terrible weakness and a lack of interest that can cause there to be on some level a rejection of Torah. In its worst extreme, leaving the way of Torah altogether. Less extreme, that a person makes his way over 120 years through this halacha and through that requirement and through this yontif and that yontif. But it's not something that brings to any simchas alev. It's just a schlep, because it doesn't make sense to him. And he doesn't know, how did this come to be? What is this? Chalila. Amnam. The Baldei Rechava. However, a person who is a Baldei Rechava, he has she'ifas to understand, to grasp, to connect to the whole picture, to see how things fit together, how the pratim fit together into the whole picture. Every single din in Hilchos Shabbos is Shabbosdik. What we're learning in Rosh Hashanah Shabbos, we're learning the Inyan of Shabbos. Every single prat in Hilchos Shabbos, every single tiny detail in Hilchos Shabbos, every Magen Avraham and every Taz, every single Bach and Beis Yosef is shining with the light of what? Of Rosh Hashanah Shabbos, Rosh Hashanah Echa. But if a person A, does not learn how the halachas, and it does not learn the halach in a clear way, and how all the halachas fit together, A, and B, he does not learn Pinyinius HaTorah, so then it becomes a burden, it becomes heavy. Omnam labaldei rechava ein hadiyuk harachav meiklal. For a person who's a baldei rechava, that's what I was talking about a minute ago. A baldei rechava, we would translate loosely as broad-minded. Dei rechava, an expansive way of thinking. So a minute ago I was talking about the Bali Kabbalah, the Bali Said, that those were people, obviously those were people of Dei rechava. So Davke, the people of Bali Dei rechava, these people are not bothered. Ein hadiyu karach of meiklal. Being the dayik in every halacha, being careful in learning all the pratim in halacha, doesn't bother them at all. Adrava, since it's all part of a whole organism, and it's all therefore filled with the light, every piece is filled with the light of everything, they don't feel that learning that halacha or observing that halacha is taking them away from the entirety of Yiddishkeit. They don't feel that they're being sidetracked and bogged down by details. You could imagine if people like us would be taken on a tour of some big nuclear plant somewhere, and they're trying to explain to people like us, you know, what this is and this button, you say, and you see all these, you see these buttons over there, and we don't understand what those buttons are, and there are thousands of these different buttons, and we don't understand what they are. Therefore, when we're trying to follow along with this tour, and we're trying to look at this and to understand this, it becomes very boring, it becomes tedious, and we get lost in all of these things. But for the person who understands how every single button is connected to the other button, and how the entire plant is really, it's some one thing, it's one thing, it has this one koyach, but this one koyach consists of all of these prote-protem, with all of these buttons. So for that person who, to whom it's clear, how does this work? How does this work? What is this? So it's beautiful. And he doesn't feel that this particular part of the plant is uninteresting or is boring, or what shaykhs does it have? Because he understands that the shaykhs, the whole thing is one. So the people who are Bali Deir Rechava, a Bali Deir Rechava, a person who has that expanded way of thinking, who has a she'ifa for shleimus, for godless, for greatness, who's in that place, ein hadiyuk harachav me'iklal. Being medayik in all the diyukim of halacha, in learning and in observing, it doesn't bother him. He doesn't feel sidetracked by that. Doesn't feel sidetracked by it. Other rabbis, you see people that do not have derechava, that they feel very sidetracked by pratim of halacha. This is a little detail that annoys me. This bothers me. The people who they might consider themselves very broad-minded when it comes to politics, when it comes to Yiddishkeit, they know very little. And because they know very little, every little detail is a hassle. Because A, they're amaratzim, and B, even if they learned something, they don't see how one thing connects to the other. So every prat is a hassle. Therefore, every prat is dispensable. It's dispensable. So you see this. You see that there are circles of Orthodox Jews that they'll ignore. They'll ignore things when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos. Whether it's a liquid you put onto the blech, whether it's a solid you put on the blech, and if somebody gives a Dvar Torah about solids and liquids putting onto the blech, what are you getting so crazy with that? God cares about liquids and solids. God is very big. He doesn't care about liquids and solids. He wants us to enjoy Shabbos. So you take something out of the refrigerator, it makes no difference if it's a liquid. You put it onto the blech. What's the difference? And only the mishagoyim that get into all these crazy chilukim and diyukim of what's the din with this kind of food and that kind of food and how to heat it up on Shabbos and whether you make tea, you can make a tea with a tea bag, without a tea bag, what's a kli rishon, a kli sheni kind? What does God care about kli rishon, kli sheni, ki shlishi, ki li revi, chamishi, what's the name? What kind of, how many kalim you pour into this cup? The cup's dry when you pour it in, it's not dry when you pour it in. It's dafka the people who are balideyas kitzarais, or very narrow-minded, although those people are usually very broad-minded politically. Politically, and Jews, everybody is, you know, that whole picture. But when it comes to they don't really, those are people that are balideyas kitzarais. That's why if you disagree with them, they usually get very upset. Very, very upset. They don't want to hear anything different. They don't like anything different. Somebody was just telling me the other day, they're talking about where the yontif, it happens to some part of the family, there's a certain part of the family that lives in Borough Park, and there's a more modern part of the family that lives someplace in Queens. And they want to be together for yontif, but the family from Queens, and the family from Borough Park has gone to Queens for different yontif. But the family from Queens said, we'll never step foot into Borough Park. Such a lesson. They won't step foot into Borough Park. Except if you get a bargain in a store, obviously. I'm not talking about that. I meant for Shabbos and Yontif. We're not going to step foot like you're talking, God forbid, about some place. It's not a Jewish place. In fact, the place is filled with all kinds of Elohim Yidden and Rebbes and Sadiqim. You won't step foot in the Borough Park. And these are the most open-minded people, you understand. When it comes to everything else, they're so open-minded, we're not going to step foot into that place. If you want to be together with us for Yontif, you have to come to us. Which they have done. They said, we'd also like to come a little bit here to have to get, switch off, not stepping foot. They're Baladeus Ktsaras, very, very small, very, very tiny, very narrow-minded. And therefore, every single prat of Yiddishkeit is a pain in the neck, is a big, heavy load. Those who are davka learning Ba'aymik and Baladei Rechava, who have she'ifas for shleimus, it's interesting. They don't feel bogged down by the details of Yiddishkeit. The people who call themselves broad-minded, they feel it's a huge hassle, all of these dinim. The ones who consider themselves to be very broad-minded, the ones who are davke, who they look at as being narrow-minded, they feel the pleasure in every single sif katan in the Mishnah Berurah. They feel gives them life. They feel the pleasure. Think about it. It's an interesting paradox. It's a very interesting paradox. The Torah says they're not broad-minded people. They're amaratzim. They're very sweet and good amaratzim. Hashem should give them all a healthy good year. But they're amaratzim. They're amaratzim, and they're completely detached from the bigger picture of Yiddishkeit. They don't have the only shifa that they have on Shabbos to get finished with davening and to eat and to go to sleep. So you understand in the lives of such people how every sif katan in Shulchan Aruch is like it makes them crazy. But if those same Jews would sit and would learn and would connect to the bigger picture, they would feel the joy of every single thing in Yiddishkeit. They wouldn't have to look in other places for fun and for pleasure. They wouldn't have to sit down. They wouldn't have to sit down on Shabbos reading some raunchy novel. They'd be able to read the latest newspaper, to read what's going on in the United Nations, whether the United Nations believes in Jews or doesn't believe in Jews, whether Ahmadinejad Yimach Shemoy is going to kill the Jews or not going to kill the Jews. It's Shabbos and keep Shabbos and comes to a bigger place. In that bigger world, there's no such thing as Ahmadinejad. He goes away, like a bug, like an annoying bug. Not even in that world of Raza de Shabbos, of Pnimius. Instead of the whole day, this Shabbos, we're going to be talking about what did he say? What did the Russia say? What didn't he say? He meant like this. How could they let him come to New York? How could they let him come to New York? And of course, it's crazy. But Bali Deya. A baldeir, a chav is a person with sheifas, and for that person, a dika rochav meiklal doesn't spend Shabbos reading the newspaper or talking Irishkeit. Va'adarabba, hadaikonus he toledus ha'ashlama. Rav Kook says, adarabba, being careful, being very scrupulous in learning halacha and in keeping halacha, he says, that's the result of hashlama, of shleimus. Just the opposite. Those people who are shleimim and have sheifas for shleimus, they're dafka the ones who are most connected to the pratim of halacha. Of course, there's also this feeling, like we saw in Rav Kook's letter, there's also this feeling of wanting to run away and go back into the ocean of the hole. But that's how they live, back and forth. But in the end, those two worlds are sewn together in the life of the sholem, in the life of the day rechava, the person of who has a day rechava. Vader abba daikonis he toledes hashlama, k'mosha daikonis shel dikto kaloshen he nerechis l'shleimus and shlama dabrim bo. The same way that those people who really, really understand a language and appreciate a language and have a picture of the entirety of that language, they're very particular about what words are being used. They're very particular about how language is used. People don't understand, they're not experts in language, so they're not experts in language. It doesn't make it a big difference to me if this word, use that word. That doesn't make it, but when you have a shleimus, the nature of that is that you're medayik. That you're careful. The more shleimus, the more the person is medakdek. Obviously, Rav Kook is not talking about people who have different compulsions or are emotionally, something's wrong, that the diukim is because of some emotional issue. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the diukim comes from your shemayim, a healthy your shemayim, not from somebody who says Krishma seven times I heard people like that growing up, people have problems, but he's talking about the yukim and the dukim that come from shleimus and from yashamayim and from learning Torah in a great way. Not God forbid, he's not talking about people who are not well. There are people who are not well that are the doctor came and everything, but this, it's coming from a place that's not healthy. Commissioner Daikonis shall dicta galoshin he nerechis l'shemus from shlomad abim bo. With the erach rum hamusog, to the degree that a person values the greatness of the concept that he's learning, of how great this is, how important it is, how much this concept means to him, to the degree that he feels that, to the degree that he recognizes the rum hamusa, the exaltedness of this concept. The taharasa shall ha yisoid hapnimi shibataris amis. And to the degree that he understands, this is what I was saying before, how in its purest form, all of this connects to the yisoid hapnimi in tairis emes in Kabbalah, in pnimi satira, into Hashem Echad, how every single detail of Torah is Hashem Echad. You know, the millions of things going on, it's all saying the same thing. Hashem Echad. When the person is connected to that, to the degree that the person is connected to that, kach meruba v'rochav hu adiktuk ha'otzim b'proti ha'maisim m'staf m'shosha. So is that person careful with all of the digdukim, the tremendous amount of details that he has to be careful with in the Prote HaMaisim Mustafa Mishasha, and all of the Protim that come out from that Shayrish, You know how it is when you know somebody very, very well, and you love somebody in a very real way. So every single gesture of that person, every word, everything that person does, for the person who loves that person and who knows the person, every single thing is an anaf, a branch of that shayrish. And you're able to see the shayrish of that person in every anaf, in every branch, in every leaf of that person's way of talking, that person's way of behaving. Every single thing comes back to the echad of that person because you know that person. So all of the protim hamaisim that are mistafim misharisha, all of the individual maisim that grow out of the sharisha of the person are the person. To a stranger, that's what I was saying before, a person to whom this is all strange, all he sees are contradictions. He sees this, he sees that, doesn't this? He sees contradictions. But for the one who understands that person, those are not contradictions. Each anaf, each branch is an expression of the etzem of that person. To the outside observer, like Rav Kook was talking about, that those who say that my soul is torn, they're right. In terms of the ma'isim hamistafim misharashay, it's true. But for the person who loves and understands that individual, it's different ma'isim, but they're all coming from the shayrish. And every one of those protim in that person's behavior and every word that you hear from that person is a reflection or a reminder of the shayrish. So it doesn't weigh you down. You find it very endearing. To an outside person, it's annoying. It could be very annoying to the outside person, but for the one who is connected to that person, it's very endearing. Because in that prat, you see the entire person. For an outside person, it's a nocha prat. But for the person who's connected to that person, every prat is endearing. Every single prat has the whole person, and it comes from that sharish of the person. Same thing when it comes to chokhmah. If you ever had an Indian to sit, let's say, by chasnas, somebody that's a big expert in something that you're totally not interested in, whatever. I was sitting a few weeks ago next to somebody who's with something with some kind of some stocks thing, or something with stocks, and it got me for almost like an hour and a half. And I was the whole time, I was just like, oh, I was trying to, keep up with it. And he was so excited. He's told all these different things with it. I don't know. The Shaitis and different things he was telling me. He was so excited about it. And I was just, you know, hoping that it would end the whole time. I don't know how he was going like that for a long time. Also, I wanted the soup I couldn't have either. And it was going for a long time. But he was so excited. I didn't have the heart like to not pay attention with it. You know, he was so excited. And every single thing to him is a pella. Why? Because he understands. He understands how it works. And to him, it's a beautiful, beautiful painting, a beautiful machine. And every single prat of that machine to him is beautiful. He sees the whole picture. And he wouldn't understand. He doesn't understand that somebody sitting next to him might be terribly bored by all of this stuff. Might be terribly bored. And that's how a person could feel sitting sometimes in hearing a drasha, hearing a dvar Torah, hearing a shiur, whatever it might be. He doesn't. Someone's saying over some kind of an obtuse, obscure diuk, you know, by a pnei yeshua in a taisus and kedushin or something. Oh my goodness! You can go crazy for that person who's detached from it. And then he sees that the one who's saying the shiur is like jumping and excited, like the way we used to watch our, you know, had a band like that when we were growing up, and it was screaming with the, and we're all looking at this and looking at the clock of Bar Shalom. When is this going to be finished already? And he's going, and the bell rings, and he's still going. We had a band like that. We had one rabbi from the old world that he used to ignore the whole time. He used to always ignore that. It didn't mean anything to him. He would just go. He says, didn't mean anything to him. That was fast. That was the biggest torch. You know how that is. You're waiting the whole time for it. It should be 10 o'clock. And then it wasn't just a bell in the yeshiva. It was like a, it was a loud thing. You just keep on going through the whole time. And that guy's going, I didn't know what to do, but also nobody did anything disrespectful like that. But it was all the time that happened. He wasn't garrisoned at all. Didn't mean anything to him. He doesn't remember that from Grodno, that there was a bell or a buzzer, like it, you know. But we grew up the 24-second, you understand, there were different Zamanim with the basketball game. There's only a certain amount of time till you get the ball here, until you shoot, and you can't stand over here. So we grew up, we were very medactic in all of these things with Zamanim. He doesn't have anything like that. And he figured that we must be having a blast, just like him. And we're all going like this. He thought we were so excited about this Pnei Yeshua, you know. I mean, he's going in. Pnei Yeshua, tilt straight, tilt lunch. No break. And sometimes, you know, so the other kids were playing in the hall and making noise, and he was, close the door, he'd say, shut the door. Then he thought, oh, because as long as the door was open, we thought, maybe. But then he'd say, shut the door. And that's it. But he was in that world. That's the world of Torah. But for someone who's not connected to that, it can be torture. Like hearing a lecture from somebody on a subject that you have no interest in. You have no interest in. But for that person, where everything fits together, it's beautiful. It's the most magnificent thing. You have to be mindful of that, by the way, just as a side note, when you're talking to other people about your inyanim, right? Just as a chesed. For those, especially mothers or grandmothers, future grandmothers, when you're talking about your einiklach, your children, be mindful that everybody loves you and loves your children and grandchildren. But that doesn't mean they want to hear about all the pratim, you understand? That's an inyan of sensitivity. That for you, that's the most beautiful picture in the world. My Moshe, my sorrow. For you. And the person's happy to hear that you're a grandmother, a grandfather, it's nice. But if you start going into Pratim, and then if you start with the pictures, and you start to say, you wouldn't believe what my grandson said the other day, then you're in that funny place where people are starting to get uncomfortable when they see you know what I mean? They start to turn the other direction, or, you know, to find, oh, we're getting away over here. I'm going to get a whole story about this grandchild. They want to see that the grandchild is well. The same way I want to hear that this guy, that the stock market is okay, that's all right. But I didn't want to hear about all different things. That's just a side note, the chesed. We're all guilty of that because you get caught up in your inyan and what you're interested in. And you see the whole thing, and it's so beautiful to you. For another person, that's not, especially when you're talking about children or grandchildren, what's that? A shaykhis to you? You have to say the cutest thing that your kid said last week. It's not, you know, the person usually doesn't think it's cute. They have to decide it's so cute. And then the worst thing you don't want to get back is they say, now I'm going to tell you something even cuter from my anecdote. And then you go, oh, because you weren't expecting that. You just wanted to be a mashpia. You didn't want to be a makabel. And then that person says, no. I listened to you. Now you're going to listen to me. My grandchild is even cuter than yours. And then you have to sit for the second part of the drasha. You only wanted to be the darshan. You don't want to be a makabel. It's a sensitivity. For the person who is deeply connected to the whole thing, he feels in every single prat. He see what kulam niskar miskir achas. That's getting us ready for Rosh Hashanah, right? The Rosh looks at us in two ways. He looks at us as individuals, and he looks at us as part of Klal Yisrael. As part of its Tzibur. There are two ways of looking at everything. There's looking at each particular detail, and then there's looking at something from the perspective of achasi yonasi samasi, of the whole picture. Achasi. We all want the Baruch Shem to look at us in such a way. We're nervous to be separated and counted individually. And that we want it should be in a way that's b'dayah rechava, b'skira achas, not to zoom in so carefully on what we do, but it should be more in that way of myself being a part of Klai. So that's why the biggest avodah in the Svar now at this time of the year is to be mizdabik with other Jews and to be part of a tzibur and to be connected to a tzibur. And b'seich ami anoich yeshavus the thing is atem mitzav mayom kulchem lefnei Hashem lokechem atem mitzav mayom kulchem. Even though the parsha says afterwards v'sheichem shivteichem shayim mechayte v'tzach, it says individual people, but the avoid of this time is atem mitzav mayom kulchem lefnei Hashem lokechem kulchem lefnei Hashem lokechem. I don't want it should be like that chayte v'tzach shayim mechayte individualized. It should be atem mitzav hayom kulchem atem mitzav mayom kulchem lefnei Hashem lokechem in such a way. It should be b'skira achas, not to stand out, not to be different, to be with other yidden, to be with a tzibur, to be b'seich ami anoichi yoshevus, to be with other Jews. As I've mentioned many times over the years, there were tzaddikim that they didn't want it in any way, they didn't want to even have an aliyah and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. They didn't want to be different or singled out, they just wanted to be b'seich ami anoichi yoshevus. And the whole avodah, especially at the end of Elul going to Rosh Hashanah, is the avodah of Ahavis Yisrael. The Ikar Avodah Yisrael is Ahavis Yisrael. And Dveikus, one Jew with another, which you would think, why does that have to do with it? Because to become part of that Skira Achas, that part of the of that Mitzias that's called Knesset Yisrael, of the whole picture, of Am Yisrael as Hashem's people, which is Achasi Yonasi. Achasi, one. At the same time that he sees all of the individual pieces of Yiddishkeit, he's always connected to the Skira Achas, to the bigger picture. And that's why the Bali Said were always Bali Halacha. And if there's something missing in the care that's taken with all of those details, Hariat Surah HaBihira, then the clear Surah, Sharum Erech HaTorah Elokis, of the great exalted Torah of Hashem, V'raymim Uzchukeh Mishpateh V'yikar Erech Tachlisam, and the exaltedness of all the laws of the Torah, and the Yikar Erech Tachlisam, and the great precious value of all the Tachlis, of all of Torah Hashem, Mistashteshes, becomes blurred, becomes dimmed, becomes unclear. That's what I was describing before. If you're not careful with something, if there's a Choshiva symphony, and there's one person in the symphony that's not doing well that day, whatever, something's wrong, And because of that, you have, you can imagine, in the New York, I don't know if that's philharmonic or these big philharmonics, and you have a very choshev orchestra. And for what, something happened, the guy that plays that instrument had a fight with his wife or something, and he's angry, so he gives a little bit too much on the, he's, you know, he's going on the, he's thinking of his wife, and he goes like this on that instrument, or something is off a little bit. So then somebody in the audience who's not a big maven, that wouldn't make a big difference, but anybody who's in the audience who's a maven would feel that this was a horrible, horrible injustice. It was an insult to Mozart, to Beethoven, or whatever. It was a big, big bizarre to the Philharmonic, and would want this person to be thrown out and never to come back. But other people that are there said, sounds okay to me. For one who understands and how that symphony is, every part is so elegantly sewn together with every other part, if there's something that's crooked, if there's something that's off, the whole thing is messed up. It's mistashteshes, it becomes blurred. The great exult lahavdil, just using the music as a marshal, but the erech hatayr lokis, yiraymus chukeh mishpateh, v'yikar erech tachlisam, all of that is mistashteshes. Just that it's not clear. And that's how careful the musician is with every single diuk. And if you or I would hear them rehearsing, it would have been fine a long time ago. But the conductor is a big maven, so he goes over it 1,000 times, and we wouldn't even hear the difference between the last time and this time. And now the conductor says, "Oh, now you got it." And to us, it was fine last time. But that's how it is with every single diuk in the music. You can't measure the loss that comes from not being careful with all of the protim of Yiddishkeit. The terrible loss. How the whole picture is thrown off. How the whole symphony is off key. The effect that it has on all of Yiddishkeit, on this great undertaking of the soul of the Jewish people as a people, and of each individual Jew, all of it is thrown off. It's off kilter. Something's wrong. The tzaddikim feel that. It's not just a matter of, can I get points by being makarev a Jew? The tzaddikim are sensitive to how, if one Jew in the world is not keeping Shabbos, how the whole picture is obscured. The symphony is off. If one Jew is not keeping Shabbos, if one Jew is not eating kosher, the whole thing is off. That's how the tzaddikim feel the pain. So then people like us sit on the side and they're wondering, "How okay?" The Satmar Rebbe was screaming, "So what are you getting so upset about?" So a little chil Shabbos, Yerushalayim, a little chil Shabbos. What are you getting so upset about? So we're not musicians. The Satmar Rebbe was a musician, not just a musician. He was the conductor. So when there's a Jew that's not keeping Shabbos, of course he loved that Jew, and it's because how much he loved that Jew that he wanted that Jew to be part of the orchestra, to be fit into the symphony. That much just pained him when there was something that was off, because he loved that Jew. That's how the tzaddikim are. As far as how to be makarev, there are different tactics and different ways of how to do that, but the pain that the tzaddik feels because of something that's not part of the whole thing. This is our great responsibility. Lasik b'tayr l'shma. And Rav Kook says, you know what l'shma, with all that l'shma means that we were learning earlier in the Sefer, b'liban halacha, a basic requirement in learning Torah l'shma is that you're learning for the sake of understanding it clearly, l'halacha, l'shma. To be mevara all the prote diktuke halacha, how they fit into the sugya, into the din, into the whole picture. That's Torah Lishma. That's one aspect of Torah Lishma. Shetiyah mechuveres kasimla. That it should be crystal clear. The limud ha-diyukim b'archavasam. And therefore, when you learn the diyukim in the right way, when you learn all of the pratim of halacha, b'archavasam, in this broad big way that we're talking about, then it will be Yemitaych Oinig Hamuskal Ha'Elin V'Simchasa. It will be with a great delight and the pleasure, the same delight and pleasure that a person has when learning a very great deep esoteric concept. And that person has a tremendous joy. You see that Simcha, again using the mashal of the person who is talking about that inyan that he's connected to. When he's talking about that detail of the symphony, he has a tremendous simcha. And we want the children to grow up and to be in yeshiva and to feel this joy when they're learning. When they're learning Ablat Gemara, when they're learning Mishnah Berurah, when they're learning a pasuk with Rashi. We want them to feel this oinig hamuskal ha'elyon v'simchasai. But we have to teach it differently. We have to find a new way of teaching it. First, you have to be able to find someone who's willing to say that the old way is not necessarily working, and then to suggest and talk about new ways. V'zeu atnai nichbad be'esek ha'Torah lishma, and this is a very, very great and honored condition that we know from Pirkei Avos. That is part of learning Torah lishma, or mi memches dvarim shatar nikkus ben, that is in the sixth parak there, the end of Pirkei Avos. The 48 ways of acquiring Torah is what? The simcha, the tahara. When a person is in a state of simcha, that's a way of being cut. When you're besimcha, then the Torah that you learn, you connect to when you're besimcha. B'tahara, shivadai misbaseses mitoich hamada hapnimi shel hakara brura. That simcha, that tahara, that's from the 48 kinyonim of Torah, ways of acquiring or tenoim, conditions that are needed to truly acquire Torah. That Rav Kook explains, that's only going to happen when a person's way of learning is in a way that's with hakara brura, in a way where the learning is clear. Where it's clear, where it makes sense, where it comes to the halacha, where everything fits together. Then the learning will be a learning that is with simcha and oinig. And simcha and oinig are necessary in order that a person will be able to be kinder, to have a kinyan, to be kinder, that the Torah should be something that he's able to truly connect with in a deep way. We should be zeichem, Mr. Hashem, not just to talk about it, we should be zeichem to see this and to live this way.